For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He's just a hack. He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just... terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. I wonder if anybody on the rewatch can hear you cursing me out. Talk about those producing skills on my end.
I would not call that skillful. I call you a liability.
To get you to curse at me and then... to push live. Hey, it's not my fault that you started yelling at me when I said, all right, let's go live.
You were being a bad person. And you know that?
I wasn't being a bad person. You were being a bad person.
Joe. Right,
we're not going to get into it.
We don't need to get into it, but you deserved more than what was coming to you.
Today's live show, we're going to be doing mailbag questions. Also, any other questions for people who end up joining us later on, feel free to drop those in the chat as we're going on with the show. Before we get to the mailbag, though, we want to talk about possibilities of some of these college coaches jumping to the NFL, which ones we believe, which ones we think are total BS. Also going to talk about the craziness going on with Florida State, their possibility of departing from the ACC. And then there is a debate and a discussion going on right now on the internet. How many eggs can you eat in a single day? We're going to get to that and a few more things coming up later. Before we do, though, Sean, can you just share with our listeners a quick word from BetOnline? By the way, got Rams -3.5 on BetOnline.
Are they playing tonight? Yeah, who are they playing?
Work in sports?
Some other victim.
You work in sports and you don't.
Thursday night football is a disappointment. It's been a disappointment this season. Everyone knows it. Amazon's been fumbling it. It has not been a successful venture. And the only way you can get through some of these games is by betting on them. Mm-hmm. Having a little juice, a little action in on the game. You're going to sit there tonight and watch two bad teams play in a game that's much worse than you thought it could have been while you're listening to your family talk about nothing. Have some silent action in on the game and make your life a little bit more fun. Head to BetOnline. Go there today to get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. No more BetOnline where the game starts, I guess.
That was taken off the read? Oh, okay. That's weird.
It's a much shorter read. He's leaving a lot to the imagination of what the host should be. Four sentences fill 60 seconds. Make it make sense, Cam.
There's probably not a lot of diligence on his part. All right, I want to start us off, Sean, talking about the coaching possibilities for these college coaches to jump to the NFL. So we already have two coaching vacancies that have opened up. We've got the Los Angeles Chargers as they fired Brandon Staley last Friday. And then we also had in the middle of the season, Frank Reich was fired from the Carolina Panthers job. Now there's speculation of some of these other... Las Vegas Raiders, rather, also fired their head coach Josh McDaniels. Now, as we always get into these cycles, there's always a debate on which of the college coaches are worthy of some of these openings when they come up. There's typically a lot of retread or a lot of people that are pulled from coaching trees that usually don't work out. The Belichick one doesn't seem to work out. The McVay one's kind of hit or miss. And I think that there's always one or two guys that are brought up as potential options from the college game. This year feels a lot more than that, though. It feels like there's legitimate smoke for three college coaches that could make that jump to the pro level. I'm going to start off talking about here the one that I think is the least likely. Kirby Smart's been brought up in just very, very vague early rumors for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think Kirby Smart makes sense for any other NFL opening, nor do I think he'll get circulated in any of those other discussions. However, from Georgia, coaches at Georgia, has been there for a very long time, played at Georgia, and there's a possibility that Arthur Smith is no longer that head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, you're a Falcons fan. Forget if you would want Kirby Smart. Do you think that there's any shot? Because I don't think that there's any realistic chance this happens.
I don't think there's a realistic shot. I want it to happen. Why wouldn't I? But there's not a realistic shot because Kirby has the awesome excuse of, why would I leave? Why would I leave now? There's no reason to leave Georgia now. Saban was 54 or 53 years old when he went to Miami in 05. That's how old he was. Kirby's only 47. He saw how it happens. He saw how it works. It doesn't always work. Pete Carroll, always up and down, up and down. I feel like Kirby Smart is going to be a college lifer unless a golden opportunity opens up. Andy Reid decides to retire. Go ahead, take over the Chiefs. Good organizations deserve Kirby Smart, not the bad ones, and he knows it. He's a value man. I think the way that he's been running his program at Georgia has been brilliant. Even amidst all the off-field incidents and all the drama and not good things, he's running a pretty tight ship. I would never expect him to leave a tight ship for a weak ship.
I think the clearest indicator, though, that he's Kirby out of any of these wouldn't leave. The recruiting class that he just put together is ridiculous.
He's going crazy.
If there is that much of an intent to bring in six offensive linemen that are all over 6'6 and 300 pounds, he's gearing up for the future and he's gearing up for something serious. And look, if there is any floating of discussion or whatnot with the NFL and with the Atlanta Falcons, who would kill to have Kirby Smart as their head coach, it's just a negotiation ploy. You know, it's see how much more money you can get on the table for the next negotiation. I think he just renegotiated, so it really wouldn't factor in right now. But you could at least bring that up as often as possible to say, hey, well, the NFL is going to probably call soon. If you guys don't want to get serious and give me the money that I need, I will make that jump. I know that sucks to see here from being a Georgia fan, but it's something to consider. But I really don't think that it would make sense. I think often with these guys that do make the jump, have no connection to the schools that they're at. He played there. He's not going to want to leave. He's in the golden job that he wanted as a coach.
Yeah.
There is no reason that he would ever want to leave. Just like Alabama fans, for some stupid reason, always say, well, if Saban retires, Kirby's one to consider. No, he's not. No, he's
Why
not.
Would he? Why would he leave? He's building his own thing and he's doing a pretty good job at it. There's no need for him to get up and jump ship. Not right now. And I think Kirby would thrive in the pros. I think that his demeanor is good. He's composed when he needs to be. He's calm when he needs to be. And when he needs to let the anger fly, he can. He can get a team fired up before half or fired up before the game. Or he could just give you the bare bones. This is what we need to do, fellas. Keep doing what you need to do. A lot more, it's the latter. Regardless, I think Kirby would succeed, but there's no reason for him to leave.
Rack doesn't think that any of these coaches are leaving. Okay, thank you, Rick. Jim Harbaugh, I think, is the one who's in the middle here.
He's
on
gone.
Likelihood.
He's okay. Gone.
Let's address this. So there was a notice of allegations from the NCAA. They've got 90 days to respond and for this to play out. Probably not going to know what's happening until after the college football playoff, at least that first round. And if they win and they go into the national championship game, we're not going to know for a little bit what's happening there. I know that they're in a position right now where they're renegotiating and they're trying to get him an extended deal. But like what you just said, I feel like that if with everything that's gone on here, all the shit that's he's getting thrown at him by the Big Ten, the way he was mouthing off to Tony Petitti at the Big Ten championship game and pointing at him, all of that that went down, I don't know why he'd want to stick around in Michigan. He's been there for a long time. He's won multiple Big Ten championships. He's beaten Ohio State multiple times. He can go out on top, theoretically. Now, the top to go out on is if they won a national championship. I think if they win the Natty, he's gone. But if they still lose, I'm going to give it 65-35 that he leaves.
I would say the only reason that Harbaugh stays is to be a prick to Petitti. That's the only reason, is to be like, you did not force me out. He's a prideful guy. That's the only way.
But I feel like Petitti could be more of a prick to him, though. That's
I agree. There's it's too much. It's not going to work out. This is not a partnership that will go for a long time. It's not feasible. Harbaugh is going to go. He is going to. Eberflus is going to be done in Chicago. He is going to coach Chicago. He's going to coach anywhere. And also, Michigan, great run with Harbaugh. Be happy about the run with Harbaugh. You got to have somebody bring you back to the promised land and give you bragging rights for 3 straight years. Impressive. He took a team that was middling to good and turned them into a great program again. Fantastic. Good work. But it's not, there's too much. There's too much with him. It's run its course. You're at the end. All the investigations, the suspensions, and whether or not you thought it was just or not deserving, it's not a healthy relationship with the school at this point.
I don't know how old he is. He's got to be in his 60s. Look, yeah. all plain and simple, though, kind of what you're saying. All the shit that's going down, all the trouble that he's getting, it's really easy to avoid. His stock being an NFL coach again is pretty high right now. It is quite high.
Oh yeah,
for him to get that next opportunity and for him to dip. So with everything that's going on, why wouldn't he just avoid it instead of having to sit through all these? I don't think he has to go sit in these court hearings, but like there's going to be a lot of hearings and a lot of crap that's going to build up. Just leave.
He's going to avoid it. And also, Michigan should just be like, okay, we're done. We're done. Because every year, it's similar to a Lane at Ole Miss, right? You never really know if he's staying. You never really do. Harbaugh, similar. You never really knew when he was at Michigan whether or not he was going to stay or if he was going to jump to the NFL. That's what it was going to be.
That guy's picture is awesome. Chris Schubert says, what if he can't get an NFL job?
That's ludicrous, Chris.
I mean, there's so much smoke right now.
Have you seen the coaches? Have you seen the NFL coaches?
Well, okay,
we need them.
There's two things that come into play here with that. It's a very good point. One, it seems like there's a pretty strong attraction from the Chargers. I believe Harbaugh also played. No, he didn't play for the Panthers, but he did play for the Bears.
I think the Colts and the Bears. One of them played.
And he also was with the Chargers for a period of time. We're not old enough to know if these things actually happen or not. But there is a tie to these organizations. And what you're saying right now, there is this horrible phase of coaching where there's just all of these coaches getting pulled from these mediocre coaching trees that are not working out. And the current current options list that you keep seeing when you pull up these articles are like, oh my God, these are really, really bad options.
It's Slowick, rough.
Slowick's like the best one, and Bieniemy are like the two that I would consider. Ben Johnson's the third. That's probably about it.
Here's what Harbaugh provides and that everybody knows, but nobody talks about. Harbaugh provides a ball coach attitude to his program. Thanks, Rack. He is a football coach. He is not an analyst dork. He doesn't care what shoes he's wearing on the sidelines. He's going to show up in his khakis. He's going to yell. He's going to scream. And then he's going to get your team ready to go. That's what Harbaugh does. None of these loser dork coaches that are sleek, that come, oh, he's an OC and he's doing this and that. No, I don't care. They all act the same. They all have the same just irritants. I need some ball coaches back in the NFL. Why can we both root for the Lions, Joe, because Dan Campbell rules. Why does nobody hate Andy Reid? Because he's a ball coach. There are coaches in the DeMeco Ryans, ball coach. Love it. There are ways to do it. Instead of being glasses,
you don't like Mike McDaniel.
We're getting high top fade and North Face puffer. That's what we're getting across the NFL. And I need some guys that are packing lips.
It sounds like for when that Falcons opening, if it does come this offseason, you know, Slowick is exactly what you're just shitting on right now, right? You understand that Ben Slowick is like,
yeah.
I think he worked at PFF actually before he got hired. He was like an analyst role, and then he found his way into this offensive coordinating gig. And that's probably going to be the Falcons head coach.
Yeah, that's dumb. It's super dumb because Arthur Smith, offensive lineman, played ball, you know, came in and you're thinking, oh, this guy might be a ball coach. He thinks he's too smart for the room. I need a coach to thinks that he has the biggest balls in the room, not to think that they're the smartest. God, it should be so simple, but it's not. Harbaugh provides that. That's why he should go, because he'll win a championship. He will win a Super Bowl on this next bout around in the NFL. He will.
So he actually, this comment, Harbaugh both played for the Chargers and coached it. It's FCS. USD was FCS back then, and routinely went to the Chargers facility. So yeah, he does have ties to the region. It does make sense for him to end up with the Chargers. I want to throw this on the table though. This is one that I don't think is getting brought up enough. And there is so many indicators in plain sight that aren't getting talked about. I really feel like Lincoln Riley is putting himself out there for some of these openings, and I feel like he could end up being the Chargers head coach. He is a polar opposite of what Brandon Staley just was, which was a defensive-minded coach that is a complete hard-headed idiot, to go to Lincoln Riley, who's also hard-headed but is this offensive savant who has put together some really good teams in college. His skill set, I think, fits better with the NFL, and frankly, he's mailing it in right now. He is completely mailing it in.
I think he's looking for the escape hatch also.
That recruiting class that he just put together is Clay Helton-esque. It's not much better than anything that Clay Helton put together. And I think that Clay Helton actually had some better recruiting classes. I've given them a ton of shit. I'm not going to go any further. But the fact that Will Howard is the rumored quarterback on the market for them to be the replacement for Caleb Williams, he has never had a quarterback with that skill set before. It just doesn't make any sense to me. None of what he has done this offseason has shown to me that he is trying to make the necessary efforts to prepare to win in the Big Ten. I'm telling you what, right now, no one's talking about it, which makes me think even more that there's a likelihood of it occurring. And it's a little conspiracy theory-ish.
I think he's punched out. I think that he realized, oh my God, USC was supposed to be the place where I didn't have problems, and they have as many, if not more, problems than Oklahoma. He's looking for an escape route. He's looking for somebody to say, hey, come on in. I think he'd be a terrible coach in the NFL. I don't think he's a very passionate coach. He doesn't seem like a leader of men to me. I think he can draw up plays if he has a good quarterback. You know, he can call the routes. But other than that, what have you shown me? You've shown me nothing. You got a Heisman quarterback winner at Oklahoma. You got a Heisman quarterback winner at USC. What else? It's like when Bryce Harper was leaving the Nats and everyone was like, oh, this stinks. It stinks. And it ended up being a little bit wrong. But at the time, all Bryce Harper had was an MVP. And then he had a win in the home run derby. Those were his major accomplishments aside from all-star games. Other than that, that's what Lincoln Riley is. If he goes somewhere else and thrives, sure. I don't think it's going to happen immediately, though. And I don't think he would thrive in the NFL. I think it's a very high chance. I think this has the highest chance, if not the second highest chance, to happening behind Harbaugh.
LFG says, I thought exact same thing back in September or October, because Riley said something about other goals he wanted to reach. I mean, he's also young. I feel like a lot of times with these younger guys, they're more willing to jump ship. They're a little more willing to explore options. And we already saw him literally do it. He literally just bailed on Oklahoma when things were going well for this USC gig. I just, the writing's on the wall.
Which it's not I would have done also. I'm not going to hate on him either.
LA
stinks. It is a good opportunity. I'm saying when you're making that kind of money, Joe, I think LA gets.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A little bit better.
Sure. Florida State, let's talk about the Florida State situation. So today it broke that tomorrow morning there is going to be a Board of Regents meeting regarding their decision to not to leave. This is not a decision to leave. It's the decision to explore the possibility to leave because they have to. This is going to be a waging legal battle. They basically have to find a weakness in the grant of rights that proves that they can either get out for less money or completely get out altogether. It's going to be a very complicated process, but by the time you tune into this, there might have been a decision. It seems like things are trending in that direction, of that decision being that they will jump ship, leave the ACC. I had said this a while ago, that when they got left out of the college football playoff, it was setting up the situation for them to make that jump, because basically it was told to them that they played in a non-competitive league despite it being a Power 5 conference, and that the playoff committee was holding that against them. And albeit that they're going to be playing in an expanded playoff, it's still a bad taste in their mouth to be now saying, why would I stick around in this conference that has been holding us back financially and competitively when we could be suited aggressively by the Big Ten and the SEC? I'll let you weigh in before I throw in some stupid crazy shit.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. Florida State has acted in an embarrassing fashion at times. This last offseason, I was incredibly embarrassed for them. But I think I respect the decision of from this standpoint of we played in the ACC. We were undefeated. You didn't let us in. Now it's punishment time. I think I respect that decision to say you snubbed us. Now we're snubbing you, and because of this, we are going to send a ripple effect through college football. And then it moves down into the collapse of the ACC, which if they leave, very possible, but I would deem likely. And then we're looking at 320 team conferences, which is what everybody wants. And then to see if you guys talked about it, the whole discussion. And I'm just sitting here like, it's not, I don't mind that college football is unfair. I think it's fine for people, especially athletes, to have to deal with something that's unfair. It's cool. It's the greed from the conferences. It's the greed of the realignment that really gets me. And it's a free market and people can be as greedy as they want. And I respect the hell out of it, but it's just sickening to see sport that was about having fun with your friends turned into sport that people want to watch you have fun with your friends to here comes TV Corporation ruining everything, death of another conference. And we just could be sitting right in the middle of the collapse right now. And I'm not,
we literally are.
And I'm not saying that to get more clicks or views because everyone knows that, but you're just like, I'm sick of this. Sick of Florida State acting like they're victims. Oh my God. Boo hoo. Cry me river. Get over it.
Okay. Wait. I actually think that they're justified for being upset about all this.
That is, yes. But they have had a victim mentality for a while.
They're playing in a dog shit conference. I don't think that they're at fault for wanting to explore better options. Look, things are clearly trending in a direction where we're moving to two conferences. Be the first catalyst. Don't be the team that sits and waits. Just go.
Do you want the two conference system?
I think that if this was the early 2000s, I would say no, but it's not. It is 2023 going on 2024, and we're now in a position where the best quality of football with the transfer portal and the NIL era is if we move to independently managed and run entities that then compete for a national championship. We're going to have the AFC and the NFC that basically happening in the 70s and 80s.
I know. And I know that there's still going to be college football on, and there's still going to be games that I watch and I don't watch. It's the same thing. We can get worked up however we want, and I get worked up plenty. But I get pissed off when I think about the stupid Wake fan or the stupid Pitt fan that has to now suffer the fate of the Wazoo or Oregon State fan because of greedy corporations and greediness.
And I'm sorry to say this to these fan bases, but those fan bases aren't really that big to start with. I have watched.
I'm not saying that they are, but they're still fans.
I've watched Pitt football games where the stadium's half empty. There is not that much of an intention and draw to those programs. There's just not.
I feel you. But there's some. There's still some.
We have to stick with this below quality, product because we don't want to.
What was the quality product this year? Was the SEC a quality product this year?
Yes.
Two teams
what are you talking
were.
About?
Two whoa, teams wait, were.
Wait, but that.
What about the Big Ten?
That
two teams.
I'm telling you right now that the minute that those conferences expand next year, that is going to be some of the best football that we've
it's
watched.
It's still going to be dog shit, and it's still going to be 90%
dog shit. You think Syracuse versus Boston College is good? Is like fun football to watch?
That's the same as watching Mississippi State Vandy. Every conference,
we're talking about Texas versus Georgia. We're talking about Alabama versus Oklahoma.
We were going to watch those games anyway.
Michigan playing Oregon. We're talking about we are now in a position where
we were still going to get that with a 12-team playoff. We were not as much, but did you watch Nebraska versus Iowa?
Did you watch Nebraska?
No, and I won't watch it when they're in the Big Ten when there's 40 teams in their conference either. It's still going to be dog shit, and the only people that get hurt are the little people. That's all I care about, and it's only because of the greed. And I'll still watch the games that I'm going to watch. But it's the regular Joe fans that are getting shafted, and that's the only bummer that I have. I don't care.
Bottom half ACC and Big 12 programs are in danger of being relegated after FSU triggers the next round of greed-driven consolidation. But here's the other reality of this, though, Sean. I don't think that necessarily all of these these teams are going to get neglected. I don't think that's truly the case. I think that what's inevitably happens is that there's 60 something Power 5 teams. I forget what the exact number is. We end up having two 30-40 team conferences that compete with one another is what the eventual future that we move to is. That's not a bad product. If you want to incentivize your team and you want to move them up and for them to grow, they can be competitive in these conferences, but it's going to require increase in funding. I think the teams that actually get hurt are the G5 once that gets sectioned off as it was basically proposed by Chip Kelly to become its own separate entity, which it should. The angle into this, though, that is going to get talked about more and more is the Saudi-backed investment funds that are going to be funneling into paying for some of these teams to leave. And it's already getting talked about now with Florida State. It's a funny bit that every time I see it, everyone's like saying, like, Insalah, go Seminoles. But this is now the angle that we're going to end up having to deal with, that we're going to have not just Saudi-backed investment funds, but investment funds that are stepping in to pay for the departures of some of these teams to leave their conferences to pay for all their legal fees to then get involved with their NIL.
I got you. I want you to know that I don't have my head in the dirt and I'm missing all of this or missing what it's moving to. I know what it is, and there's nothing that anybody could do to stop it. Because we all keep watching, and we're all going to keep watching. And that's the fact of the matter. I'll still watch tons of college football next year. I'll still watch tons. And the year after, and the year after, and the year after. But I don't think much of this is being done for the wellness of student athletes, and it's just being done for TV money, which is the market that we're living in, and it's still probably the best system that we have available in the world when it comes to sports. But holy shit, at times do you look around and be like, this is depressing?
I don't think it's depressing. I really don't. I think that we're moving towards a more competitive and quality product on the field. I think if you look at it...
When has college football ever been about quality, though? That's not what we love it for.
I'm not... That's not what I'm saying, though. Like, okay, yes, we're entertained by the absurdity of what just happened in the famous Toastery Bowl. Like,
that's all I care about.
Unbelievably ridiculous.
That's all I care about. I don't care about the 20-year-old linebacker getting $1 million. I don't. I'm happy that he can, but I don't care.
This is the world that we now live in.
I agree.
This comment, though, was pretty funny because they're saying that you have a New England accent, which is really funny because I feel like that pisses you off.
That's you.
No.
The viewers left.
With the New England accent, dude, Sean. I'm confused. I don't know what he's trying to say there.
LFG, who do you think has the accent? It's not me. I'm from the Mid-Atlantic region. We have no accent. There is literally no accent. It's just
a
white person. That's what the accent is. What's the accent then, Joe?
I don't know. All right. But we're going to get to questions in a second. I want to talk about the egg thing. So I'm going to play the audio in a second, but it's been brought up today and it was circling on Twitter. This apparent fantasy football punishment where the loser last place individual had to consume 30 or so eggs. I'm going to play the audio so that we have the context.
The most dangerous animal he thinks he could beat in a one-on-one fight is, and you will infuriate yourself. I fear that the men have caught on to that one, and I have a new one that has been one of the most eye-opening things I've ever experienced. So this fall, I was dating somebody for a couple of months, and he was in this fantasy football league, and they had a punishment. And the punishment was that whoever lost the league in one waking day, not a 24-hour period, but one waking day, had to consume the same number of eggs as their age that year. I'm 29. Everybody was like late 20s, early 30s. This man had lost the league the year prior. When I tell you that fear of losing the league again and having to eat almost 30 eggs in one waking day again, like, kept him up at night. We were out to dinner the day that Nick Chubb's knee blew. He like could not engage in a normal conversation for like 45 minutes after that. That's actually not even why we didn't work out, which looking back, it absolutely should have been. But
wasn't that this year?
I told several of my male friends about this. I told my fantasy football league about this. And I said, oh my God, isn't this like the most upsetting thing you've ever heard? Can you imagine having to eat 30 eggs in one day? And the number of men who were like, that would be easy. It would be easy to eat 10 three-egg omelets in a day. So I started asking like every man I know, men in their 40s were saying this. That'd be easy. It's fine. I am almost scared to post this because of the number of men that I know I'm going to have in my comments being like, that would be
I'll
easy.
Be one.
If you and your boyfriend are on the rocks.
Yeah, you made a mistake posting that.
That's a bad call. That's a bad call for you if you don't want people commenting how many eggs they can eat.
There's two things here. One, the 25 eggs, 30 eggs, whatever it is, 35 eggs, so easily accomplishable.
Domination.
You could break it up into 3 10 egg omelets or like 4 7 or so egg omelets. I also thought of another strategy. You just do scrambled eggs and then you do like 10 hard boiled eggs and you just pop those throughout the day.
Hard boiled too thick. Yeah, I go fried eggs. Give me 10 fried eggs, honey. And then that's that.
Hard boils are so light though. You just eat it in between stuff.
I think hard boils are the least light. I think if we're going for the standard deviation of a egg here, from most filling to least filling, hard boiled, poached, scrambled, sunny side up, or fried. So I
do it over easy then. I would do them over easy because over easy would be pretty easy to eat, right?
Which one's over easy? Is that sunny side up?
It's a little runny. Yeah, the yolk's a little runny.
Dude, if you gave me 10 fried eggs right now, I could eat them by 8:18, 8:21. I could eat 10 fried eggs. It wouldn't even faze me.
I would like to be challenged to do this in one sitting, but here's the thing. For this to actually be legitimately hard, it should be 2 for every year of the person's age. That is a real challenge.
That's a real punishment.
30 eggs?
That's a delightful Sunday. I'm having egg Sunday. Good. I go out. I have some eggs for brunch or lunch and breakfast and then dinner. I get to have eggs, breakfast or dinner. Let's get it going. Can I get some bacon too? Let me get a whole day going out of this thing. Bring the fantasy group along with you and they try to punish you, but you're having such a good time eating the eggs that then they start eating the eggs and somebody
would be excited to do this.
It's the best. This is not a punishment. This is a treat.
I would be so excited to do it. Shit. What was I going to say? I completely forgot what I was.
I'm going to go get some eggs tonight. That's my.
Oh, I was going to say though, this is like if you forget that you went to Costco and you bought the 30 tray, and then it's like a week or you know, it's been sitting in your fridge for a couple of weeks, and then they're about to go bad, and you have to sit and make all of them. Like, I could easily knock this out. Like, no shot that this would give me any trouble.
If you told me I needed to eat 25 by 9 o'clock, I can do that. I can get that done.
Does your league have a punishment?
We always talk about punishment for last, punishment. We should do it. I'd like to do it, but there's too many cowards. Like it's just, you see, you know, it's like the eggs thing would be great. Like, we just don't have enough people who are that game for it. Like, I am game. I am game, and I'm looking for more people that are game for the punishment, but so many people are like half in, half out. I need to be full in.
Well, the league's only been in existence for 3 years now. The first year we were supposed to do the Waffle House Challenge with the kid who came in last place, never did it. Mm-hmm. Last year I came in last place, and yeah, it would be a 24-hour day. You get a whole day to do it.
No, I think it's wake to sleep. I don't think you get a full 24.
Still,
from the TikTok's parameters.
But last year I haven't done this yet, and no one's tried to enforce it, and I'm kind of tempted to try doing it. I think I told you about this. It's like called the 24, 18, 12, 6 challenge. And what you have to do is in 24 hours, you, in some iteration of, you know, you have to accomplish the 18. I forget what it is exactly. It's like 18. It's 24, 18, 12, 6, and you have to pick which one fits each category of running miles, eating donuts, drinking beers, and jerking off. So you have to figure out how many miles you're going to run. So my logic was drink the 24 beers or eat the 24 donuts, run the 18 miles, because then you'll be needing calories. You have to do the jerk off thing for the 6, right? Like, that would get really old after like 3, and then, you know, fit in the remaining ones there. I might be missing something.
I don't know. I think I have to use the lowest denomination for miles.
Yeah. You don't run as much as I do.
As much? I don't run.
Right.
So I'd suffer through 3 hours.
12. You think you could pull off 12?
I think I could get you 12.
I know that you're doing beers. The 24 beers is like, you know, you can space those out.
Like, okay, this. God.
But the so because no one's been held to the punishments in my league this year, we've offered up the current resounding.
Can I
punishment.
Can I just eat 50 eggs and jack 6 times? Like, that's a good
no
day.
No. The resounding offered punishment right now, though, for whoever comes in last place, which is not going to work because we have 2 people that just forgot that they were in the league.
Oh, sure.
Was that last place has to get a vasectomy, but we don't, you know, we're not going to be able to, we're not going to actually be able to hold anyone accountable on that.
Sure, sure. So y'all just decided, let's do a bit, and then we'll do another bit next year. That's where we're at also. We like doing the bit for 4 hours, and then after that, it's like, all right, we'll do this again in a year.
I mean, we try to hold people accountable, you know, like, we try really hard to be like, for, there's usually like a 2-week period of when are you doing the punishment? And then people eventually forget. All right. We've got mailbag questions, that we were going to get to. We've got a few. First one from Jamie Williams: who is in more trouble next year? Idaho without Javonte McCoy or Albany without Rhys Poffenbarger? I'm going to go with Albany. I think that the CAA is such a difficult conference without a good quarterback to win. I don't know who's next up for them.
I will say Albany. They built a good defense. They have good skill players. But I think they're a team that needs a quarterback to succeed. Whenever they were good, they had a quarterback that could deliver the ball down the field. Whenever they were bad, they didn't have that. So I think Albany is in a tougher spot.
That was from Jamie Williams. Rack, I am not. Should I at least read Rack's question?
No. It was either Rack or Chesta had one. Chesta.
It was about Tyreek Hill. So I'm not gonna read that.
I didn't
question.
Even see that one.
Come on, man. Jamie Williams asks also, what player did you try to model your game after?
Oh, I guess they're talking to the football player here. I watched
John Weeks for me, the only comparable physical profile. Who do you Texans long snapper for anyone who doesn't know who that is? Who would you say?
I watched a lot of guys. Was nowhere near any of them. Tried out the Joe Thomas stance for practice. That was bad. That was a bad experiment. I'm because he's in a trap stance. He's like in a shot.
You should have found somebody with bad feet and you know,
nobody had worse feet than me. I don't know. I a little bit of all the. I mean, how am I supposed? Trent Brown wouldn't have been bad. It's like how do I model myself after Tyron Smith or Trent Williams, who are heroes, but they're the freakiest athletes on planet Earth. It's like I got to be realistic. So I just watched as much tape as I could of the best players and said, maybe if you soak something in, you won't get beat on third and long. And then, you know, sometimes it happened, sometimes it didn't.
Oh shit. I shouldn't have clicked on that. Racks on one tonight. Chester's first question. Who has the GOAT FUPA, Chris Christie or Charlie Weiss? That's got to go to Christie, right? There's so many pictures of him, man.
Here's the problem with Christie is he has the one in the baseball uniform is the worst picture of all time. And have you seen that photo? That one
I've seen it.
Is rough. And there's just no coming back from that baseball photo. It was just done for. It's
got like an extra dinner tray on his lap with that extra stomach that he's got going on. Joe Tinson asks, quick question. Where do you think the Saints will end up on the draft board when the season is done? Let's say they end the season 7-10. Where would that put them on the draft board and just barely missing the playoffs? So,
7-10, they're the NFC South winner. I think they end up picking. I think they pick like 15.
I mean, they're picking 13 right now. I think if you lose out, you go 7-10, you're probably picking 10 to 13. You're not moving up any further, because if we look at the teams that are ahead of them, Broncos are probably going to at least win one or two of those games. Seattle's winning one or two of those games. The Steelers, as abysmal as their offense is winning one or two of those games. You've got Houston, Buffalo. Yeah, there's just no way that they're at their ceiling right now, and they're probably going to lose out.
Well, I hope they draft the player that can't play.
Would you like to answer what the most recent question that he put on the board, or should we move on?
What in the chat?
Yeah.
Ah,
from Rack.
They're fantastic. Wait. With not CK, CC. Big difference.
Brian asks, there was a shirt made. Oh, this isn't a question. There was a shirt made when Notre Dame played Penn State a while back. Joe Pa versus the FUPA. That's pretty. That's pretty good.
College kids can get creative when they want to.
You don't get those these days. Chester also asked, if you had to live in a college town for the rest of your life, which one would it be? What were we gonna say?
Could you imagine the security detail combing through college football game day to get that sign out of there? It would look like SEAL Team 6. There's no shot you could in that shirt.
You get shot from the sniper that's in the helicopter.
Tigers calling in the Warthog.
Get him out of there. All right, the question that we asked, which college town would you want to live in for the rest of your life? Oh, this is a tough one.
UNC Wilmington has always been good. They're right on the beach. ECU was pretty sick. Greenville.
Narragansett was pretty nice.
Living on the beach. I'm not going to lie.
I've heard that UC Santa Barbara is one of the best college towns that doesn't get talked about.
What about SUNY Binghamton?
Yeah, I'd rather die. Could you imagine if we said Syracuse?
Oh, God. Okay, not that. I don't want to live in an SEC town because that's just too much madness.
Yeah, because I mean it'd be fun, but then like when game day comes around, like you'd barely be able to really even get to go to all the games. It sounds better than it actually is, and then it would just be nonstop loud. And you just be pissed off at college kids for throwing parties. I wouldn't want to do that.
Georgia Tech's like right in Atlanta, so I wouldn't mind that. I just
like count the ones that are in cities. I don't count the ones that are in cities. A college town for me.
Well, I gave you one from UNCW. I gave you Wilmington.
That's a weird one. Who the hell has even been to UNC Wilmington?
Athens, SEC, Georgia.
I've never been.
It's gonna be a mess.
Moscow, Idaho. I do want to try and go there this year for our trip. So I would like to find. I mean, I put Brookings up there. I kind of liked how spaced out and quiet it was in certain parts, and that you could buy a house and have so much land and then also be right there for game day. That was a good vibe.
Brookings is cool, but I'd rather be big city Midwest adjacent than Brookings.
Yeah, it's a little too out there.
It's just a little too out there. Like I don't know, like. If we're thinking Midwest, like Wisconsin, a little outside of Michigan would be all right. I don't know. I want nothing in Pennsylvania. I want nothing in Virginia. God, it's college towns. I'm living in George Mason. It stinks.
Is George Mason in Alexandria?
It's right nearby.
Yeah, that's terrible. That school sucks.
Well, how's St. Peter, jackass? Whatever's near you.
It's in Jersey City, which you literally, you and I have had conversations on the God, phone Joe about got, moving to
Jersey. Oh, skipping a beat over here. Joe Carruthers.
Never been to Ann Arbor either. Shut up. Chester says, last question. This is a good one. Top three current day college football coaches you'd want to play for the most. I mean, Lane Kiffin's number one.
Lane kicks ass. I'm a huge Lane guy.
Minus the whole thing that happened in the offseason. But yeah, I think he'd probably be one of the most chaotic people to have like in a meeting room.
I think he'd be a huge asset if you became a Lane player favorite. It'd be a huge asset for Lane Kiffin to think of you positively.
Yeah, but I also feel like he gives me the vibes of one of those guys that, I don't know if you've ever been around one of those coaches that like is makes fun of everybody, but and then also doesn't really outwardly show that he likes anyone.
Yeah,
like,
that's very possible.
Mean, but in a jovial way towards everyone.
I would have said my number one clear shot, no doubt, anytime, anywhere coach, but he's passed now. Mike Leach would have been my number one by a mile. In love with that dude. He was just everything about him made me want to play for him. Dion makes you want to play for him. I hear him talk sometimes. I know it'd be a nightmare. He wouldn't know who I am, but I mean, before he gets me fired up, he really does. Oh God, I'm trying.
I throw Sark in there. I think Sark's a psychopath, which is kind of cool.
I'm not a Sark guy, you know.
I think it's a good bit. He seems like a total nut job, and I kind of like that. I kind of respect that. I would deliberately go with the guys that seem the most unhinged.
I think you need that. I think that's important. Oh, I'd play for Biff Poggi. I would definitely
run through a wall for Biff Poggi.
If I knew now, I would have tried. I probably would have played for him when I could have.
Or did you see the thing Did you see the thing with the Coastal Carolina coach this week?
I heard rumblings. I didn't dive into it. What's up?
Well, I would Tim Beck. I would play.
I'd definitely play for Freeze.
Tim Beck got shit this week because he they're playing in the Hawaii Bowl and they took a picture with him in a bathing suit with the dance team, and they had to take it down. But he's jacked, dude. Like he's a jacked dude. I would totally play for him because I would respect a coach if I came into Lyft earlier. I was like leaving Lyft and he was on the treadmill, or he was, you know, throwing 315 up on bench.
I don't know. It always spooked me whenever Kennedy was lifting way heavier than what I was lifting. But I know he was a freak, and him and Caniglio were both freaks. And I'm just sitting here like, oh my God, like these are the coaches. I gotta get working. That's a great question. That's a PJ Fleck. I think I wouldn't.
He's a weirdo. He's not.
Yeah, I know he's a weirdo, man. But I think I could get. I think I could get involved in that cult. I think I really could.
Dude, they are running right now in the Syracuse USF game. Garrett Schrader's out. So they're just running Wildcat with a tight end. I am in awe of this decision making. This is great.
Oh, Coach O, yeah.
I got to admit, my current build right now, it's bulking season right now. My current build, I look at myself in the mirror and I can't help but realize I've got the Coach O build going on, which is just.
You wish you had the Coach O build. I know I got the Chris Christie build going on right now. I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
But I'm letting you know you are not Coach. You do not have a barrel chest like him, brother.
I don't.
Don't even say you do. You got maybe Kalen DeBoer build.
Kalen DeBoer.
Jonathan Smith build.
All right. Oh, I didn't mean to put that on the screen. All right. Good note to wrap us up on. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. Hit that subscribe button. We'll be back. Enjoy your weekend.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.